عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أهلا وسهلا ومرحبا بكم. Welcome to Radio Islam International. 24th of September, it's now 8:15, and Alhamdulillah, today out on the waters doing the program, and we're going to try to get hold of Adil Mangle as well a bit later. I know he's also out somewhere, but on the line with us at the moment we have Brother Luqman. Luqman, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you, Maulana?
Alhamdulillah, you keep in Luqman.
Allah shukran. Assalamu alaikum to all the listeners as well.
Ameen, inshaAllah. Luqman, today a day where we're out on the waters, alhamdulillah, doing a program live for our listeners. And it's a wonderful morning, hot already, very hot actually, I would say. And hopefully we have a good day, inshallah, fishing.
Inshallah. So did you catch anything yet?
Well, so far on the one boat, there was one that came out, Luqman.
All right.
But, no fireworks as yet. You still feel that the chill a little bit in the air, so I think probably as it warms up a bit better, inshallah.
Normally, this time of the year, what they chill in the morning, around about 11, 12, which is when those fish move back into the shallows. As soon as the water temperature warms up a bit, you should get them in the shallows. But if you, I don't know in what depth you guys are fishing now, but if they're not in the shallows now, maybe you should just back off to the 10 or 12 foot mark. Probably they're just sitting a bit deeper now, waiting for the temperature to be right before they go back into the shallows.
Okay, and in general, Luqman, this time of the year you would get where they would basically come out into the shallows, am I correct?
Yeah, it is. We all know, you know, everywhere the bears are spawning at the moment. We've been seeing photos of some decent, healthy-looking females caught all over the show. So, yeah, it is a time of the year. If you want to catch a big bass, you know, what happens is the amount of eggs that a female carries varies on its size. But a big fish carries between, you know, 200 grams to about 500 grams of eggs. So what happens is a 2-kilo fish automatically becomes like a 2.5, or 2.5 kilo becomes a 3-kilo.
So
if you really want to catch a nice big fish, this is the time of the year to target them.
Okay. And then generally, Luqman, you know, I mean, of course, last week was that short cold front that we had as well. So how does that then impact on the fishing itself?
It does, definitely, because I had a good client of ours that went to the WERP last week, Thursday, because he saw on his computer the weather patterns and it was showing that the cold front is coming through. And normally what happens is just before cold front, the bears do go into a bit of a feeding frenzy, because they can sense, even the cold front maybe kilometers away, they can sense it. You know, that's the greatness of Allah. He's given every creature, He's given every creature certain senses, especially in the animal and fish kingdom, you know. They can sense things that's going to happen. And when they can sense, you know, and it is with barometric pressure that's falling or rising or the onset of bad weather coming in. So to prepare themselves for that few days, they would go into a feeding frenzy and try and fatten up or eat a bit more. So on that Thursday when he got there, the fishing was excellent. And when the cold front came through on a Friday, he really struggled, I mean. So that alone tells you that cold fronts do have an impact and effect on fishing.
Sure, sure. So what about other species this time of the year, Luqman?
Alhamdulillah, we've had some good reports on the entire Zambezi river system of tiger fish being caught, some very nice tigers. I also, day before yesterday, saw a photo of a very big Nambwe that was caught as the dream species in Upper Zambezi.
Yeah,
so it seems like those are, you know, the tigers are biting very well. Yes, this weekend is a competition on Jozini Dam. It happens yearly. It's the Jozini Tiger competition, and I spoke to a guy yesterday, and apparently some nice fish, even a 4-kilo, was caught yesterday at Jozini. So the tiger fishing seem to be is good wherever you go. The carp is still on and off, you know. Some guys have good runs, others not. But also we're coming into that phase where they also in a month's time going to a spawning phase and it's difficult to catch them. Karpa, the same. They're biting now, you know, guys that went to odd private or farm dams have caught, but they also after a month or so would go into a spawning pattern and it's difficult to catch them until late January, or late December, early January. And your normal saltwater species, fishing isn't all that great, you know, even on a coast we haven't had any good reports. But as soon as the weather settles down, temperature starts stabilizing and it should improve, inshallah.
I think the other important aspect of man is the current situation with the water levels all over.
Gee, that also puts fish under stress, you know, because they never know. Because all for the irrigation, you know, it's manually controlled by the water affairs officials how much of water goes out. So fish, especially that are spawning, are constantly under stress because, like I said, they can pick up even when dam levels are dropping or when they're rising. So if he's they've prepared their nest for spawning and the water levels drop too quickly, then they also stop the whole spawning pattern and they go into stress. They don't know what to do. They're confused. So that's what happens is one thing is the fish also become stressed and don't know, but confused as to what, whether they must spawn, whether they shouldn't spawn. And they'll wait till they can see there's a bit of stability until they do spawn.
Sure, but I think that now overall, when we find that Allah make it easy and grant us lots of rain, but that now you find an issue overall of all animals, I mean, around the water, in the area, and then, I mean, going beyond that also then with us, I mean, yes. What are your basic necessity of life? I mean, it affects, it goes right through.
Yeah, everybody gets affected, and, you know, in our own way, we're all guilty of water wastage, you know. First of all, myself and everybody else, you know, we tend to forget. We get into a comfort zone, you know, towards the end of last year, you know, the rain season last year, and in the winter, May, June, you know, we found those big drives for saving water and giving out water, you know, which was a good cause. But at the same time, it seems like we've all got into a comfort zone now, and we've forgotten to stop saving water. So we encourage, you know, first of all, myself, my own family, and everybody else, you know, we should constantly keep in mind to stop and save water, save and not become wasteful. Not just with water, you know, with any of the ni'mat and blessings that Allah has bestowed upon us. We should always keep in mind just to be conservative in whatever we do.
And I think, you know, if we make this a habit, especially now that perhaps now we're forced to do something like we said because of the situation that we have, but if we start instilling this into us and we make this a habit, then even inshallah if the rains do come and your dams do fill up again, you know, once it's a habit, and of course you're picking up a good habit then.
Inshallah it will happen and we should all try. One of the other things just related to wastage and obviously not looking after our surroundings is the Botswana government and water affairs actually released a press statement in two fishing magazines, the SABS and I think the Tightlines this month. And the reason they did it was because of the behavior of fishermen. You know, we're all guilty, every one of us is guilty of it. When we go to water's edge, our dirt, our rubbish, old fishing line, old fishing lures, you know, we tend just to toss it around instead of picking it up. And one of the things, you know, they've had where they are going to start policing, especially like with regard to Letsi Boho, they've become more strict and even encouraging people, you know, make sure your paperwork as far as your fishing permits are in order when you go to the dam. You know, try and clean up your mess and don't disturb the environment, don't disturb nature itself. And that, from an Islamic point, you know, that's what our Sharia teaches us. So for them to now release that press statement after all the damage has been done, you know, they've assessed the damage over the past 5 or 6 years, and they were forced to issue and implement the rules and regulations, and we encourage all that. Even though that was written up for Letsi Boho and the dams in Botswana, I urge, you know, one and all to, even locally, we should keep, because at the end of the day, we would like to fish, we would like our children to fish in the coming years. And if we don't look after our resources, then it's sad to say that our children may not get to experience the fishing or good fishing we had. So it's up to us entirely to preserve and conserve for the generations to come.
Yes, I think very important. Like you said, I mean, Islamically, it's over and over mentioned, I mean, with regards to cleanliness. Half of our iman is half of your faith. And this is, unfortunately, very, very sad. You see the very same thing over and over and over when it comes to respect of the areas that we're perhaps visiting, whether it's fishing from your boat, whether it's fishing from the shore, wherever it may be. This, I mean, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi mentioned over and over, we find in the Quran and the Hadith with regard to cleanliness as well. So this is something as Muslims, we don't need a reminder. In fact, we should be setting an example to everybody else that is coming, and we should be leading by example when we're going out.
Inshallah. If everybody make the effort, it can be rewarding, inshallah.
Now, Luqman, share some tips there with us.
Before we share some tips, you know, I'm sure most of the listeners have heard about the tragedy that took place in Lanesia yesterday, the shootout. And sadly, the two people, marhum Uncle Shah, that was killed in the robbery, was a good fisherman as well. He even came into the shop before fishing trips. So we make special dua for his maghfirat, and inshallah Allah grant him highest stages of Jannah and grant his family sabr. You know, it's a loss to the community. You know, even he was, I think, well known and served the community well. And also Afi Shiraz, that's still apparently in hospital but in a stable condition. We urge all to make dua for his recovery. Also a good fisherman, Afi Shiraz, also visited the shop regularly and supported us well. So we also ask Allah to inshallah give him complete shifa and give his family also sabr. And inshallah Allah protect us all from the scourge of crime. That's,
I mean, definitely it's a loss to the community.
Gee. And we must take our precautions, you know, sincerely read our du'as. You know, we tend to read our Ayatul Kursis these days in parrot fashion, I myself. And one of the things my father advised us recently is to read it with full yaqeen and sincerity, instead of just reading it parrot fashion. So inshallah we should all, like, you know, it is a problem in a community. So we should take our necessary precautions and leave everything else to Allah, inshallah, to protect us.
Amen, amen.
And then secondly, we've had a shop in Pretoria that's in a mainland area that used to predominantly stock us of deep sea and fly tackle. So what we've done is we've introduced a bigger range of now bass and carp fishing because of the demand. So if there's any listeners out in Pretoria or in a Lodium area that goes to the mainland area, the shop sits off Harsfontein Road, and it's also Solly's Angler's Corner.
Telephone number, please.
I don't have it offhand, but the address is 322 Harsfontein Road. And inshallah, you know, if in the area, in a mainland area, you're there and you want to buy a bit of fishing tackle, especially now we're reintroducing some carp stuff and some bear stuff. So if there's all our listeners out there that could inshallah support us and make dua, that shop's also a success for us, inshallah.
What's new on the market?
Some new range of lures came out from Rapala. They introduced some new crankbaits for bass. Also, we've got some new range of Berkeley have recently released a very nice range of jerkbaits, which work now very well in a spawn. Any jerkbait, jerkbait would mean like a fluke is referred to as a soft jerkbait. A normal hard jerkbait is a slender, thin-looking rapala that refers to a slashbait or a jerkbait. So in the spawn, they work very well, and Berkeley have recently released a new range with some very, very nice striking colors. And inshallah, I mean, if the guys use it now, I think they should catch quite a bit on it. And a couple of new rods from Shimano have got one or two nice spinning rods for the bass fishermen. So if anybody is looking to get some nice bass rods and reels, they're free to come in. And inshallah, the shops are open today as well, even though it's National Braai Day. I'm sure you guys are going to have a braai at lunchtime. So, most people will be braaiing today. So on, but we are catering and we are trying to just be a service to the fishermen. So if anybody needs stuff, inshallah, we'll be open till about 12:30 in all our branches. So if anybody needs anything on the last minute before they go fishing, they're more than welcome to pop into the stores, inshallah.
Do you still have a lot of charcoal, Dave?
Charcoal? Unfortunately not yet. You're going to have to stop at the garage or the Pick n Pay and buy.
I was just thinking, if it's National Braai Day, maybe you people must put up a braai stand there outside, look, and the guys can come and...
can come and buy and braai. Not bring in, buy and braai.
No, now you make him, he's gonna leave the tech and shop, he's gonna open up a butcher, right?
Maybe that's not a bad idea.
That's not a bad idea, yeah.
Next to the fishing shop, we can have a butcher,
I just caught you guys talking a little bit about yesterday's big scene, and that was actually in my old neighborhood, you know. I know those people very personally, and like you say, it's a big loss. We make lots of dua, inshallah. But nice to hear Luki's voice, mashallah, after a very, very long time. There's actually lots of stories in between that we missed out on, like the trip that they did to, you know, the farm a couple of times. And but now I think full-on bear season, full-on, Luki.
Inshallah, like we mentioned earlier, I think you just heard about the braai and the chow, and that's why you came on. You're just making excuses now. But yeah, inshallah, now it's full fishing season. And yeah, the only tips we can get is grab your rods, grab your lures, and go fishing. That's the only tip for today, inshallah.
Definitely. So Mulana is out fishing, and I'm also out fishing, but we're in two different venues. Unfortunately, the place where I am, there's very, very little signal. I have to just stand in this one particular spot that I found, and I was lucky that the studio managed to get hold of me. But, yeah, let's see how it goes, inshallah.
All right, inshallah, Maaf, I'm going to have to leave you guys now. We've got some work to do. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alaikum salam. I think a big customer walked in, Maaf.
Yeah.
How's it going there?
He heard the starting of the program, he went to buy those jug baits now.
How's it going there where you guys are?
Still quiet, Adil, there was one that we managed getting. But
yeah.
I feel like Lukman said, I think it's still a bit of a chill in the air, so as it warms up, probably around 10, 10:30, inshallah, it should start coming out.
Yeah. At the moment, we on the Vaal River at Molana Chibu's farm, the one I've been talking about, Chukar Lamla. I've got the go-ahead now to actually talk about the place to this weekend. Alhamdulillah, I'm here with my family and my mother-in-law and my father-in-law and my sister-in-law and husband are on the way from Nelspruit also. They're going to be joining us, inshallah. So, it's going to be a very exciting family weekend. And like Luki said, braai day, you know. Lots and lots of lekker braai meat.
Stop.
Nice. Chops has to be, you know what's the funny part about chops? Chops is very, very expensive.
Yeah.
And
has to be there.
So when you do the kurbani, I think most people cut the whole sheep into chops. So that you know you've got enough chops now to last you for a very long time. We'll be talking about chops for a while also.
For the next 6 months, problem is solved now.
Problem is solved. Looking forward, inshallah, to eating some good chops. The place is, mashallah, very, very beautiful, I must say. It's extremely peaceful and tranquil. I'm standing right now here at the river looking over
the water. What facilities do they have there?
Okay, basically, at Molana and them have just purchased this farm maybe a couple of months ago. So they haven't really gone into, you know, serious work in terms of what they need to do here. But the place is already, it was already a fully fitted resort, if you want to call it that. It was previously owned by one of the white farmers here who wanted it to be more of a family-oriented kind of a resort. So there's three chalets on the property. Two are wooden chalets on stilts, and there's one here that's a brick chalet, which is close to the water. If I explain to you how it looks, it's extremely, extremely beautiful. Let's put it that way. Where we're sitting now and fishing, it's like manicured grass. You know, sure. Meaning like it's lovely green grass right till the river's edge. A lot of work has been put into the farm by the previous owner in terms of, you know, dry facility areas. There's lots and lots of grass, nice picnic area. Molana and them are also focusing maybe, inshallah, in time to come on a camping area within the resort where if you want to come with your tents and stuff, you can pitch up. There's certain areas I see where the owner has also put in plug points. Then there's a huge lapa, which is sort of communal. There's two fridges there. There's, you know, a work area. There's a basin there. There's some seating places as well. So the cooking and stuff takes place in the communal lapa. But then the chalets themselves, the two chalets, the wooden ones, have also got a little kitchenette. At the moment, unfortunately, there's no dishes or anything in. So, you know, like we had to bring that stuff in. But like he said to me when I met him yesterday, they are busy furnishing slowly, slowly, putting everything back together, you know, so that it's a little bit more comfortable. But the sleeping arrangement is good. There's double beds in the chalets, you know. The idea behind this whole facility is
you got a bite there as you stopped talking.
I didn't get a bite there. The lighty put all my whole fire out here. I want to shout him, but now I'm on radio. I can't say anything.
So, no breakfast for you today.
Yes, my whole fire is gone. Now he's looking at me funny enough. You know, last time I was shouting children on radio.
You're telling everybody what he done. Now what must he do now?
I'll just not say anything. I was explaining to you in terms of the chalets, they're very, very comfortable. You know, they're very nice, rustic. It's got that wooden finish. Everything is wood inside there. Lovely furniture. It's just a beautiful place. But what I was saying is, it's designed for families. So when you book this place also, and Molana and them also want to hire this place out like that, where, you know, you get an entire family. I think it can accommodate between 30 and 40 people comfortably. And if you bring tents and stuff, even a little bit more. So, you see, that's Ramla. You know, that's the kind of place that this is. There's no name for it as yet. I don't know what name they're going to call it. So we just call it the Porch Farm, Molana Chibu's Porch Farm. And,
we could perhaps do is, one of the weekends, we'll open up the lines and get some suggestions. You never know.
That could be a good idea.
What's a small competition?
That sounds like a very, very good idea, inshallah. I'll even speak to him and see, you know, what we can come up with.
You shout in the channel for no breakfast. I need to shout, you know, for allowing me to miss the fish, you know.
Why I'm not?
You let me miss the fish now, yeah.
Inna lillahi wa inna ilaihi raji'un. No, you know what?
Multitasking. You need to come with a Bluetooth device next time now.
We're not there, so they say if you can't see it and you can't show it to us, then it never happened. So we'll just leave that time.
No, for today, then, you know, I got some good witnesses and good proof. I got Mohammed Patel with me today, you know?
You're fishing with the pro.
Let's see if he's with us. We told our engineer to get him on the other line there. You know, so
right.
we can be plenty people on the line there.
Is he also at the moment on the DM as well?
Yeah, I'm telling you, we're fishing together here, and now Mohammed, just tell Adil how he made me lose the fish here. He want to shout his light here for putting his fire off.
Taking us out of our quality time here. Adil. Assalamu alaikum, Mohammed, how is it?
Wa alaikum salam. This man is a monster in the water today, man.
Is he a monster?
Yeah, I don't know what kind of Kellogg's he had. Maybe he made one heavy dua this morning. Yeah, but
you know, he's got a reputation that he's got to keep up to. A lot of people that have went fishing with him, Alamla, they say that no, he's quite a good drummer. But I don't know. I haven't really experienced it myself.
No, he's good. He's a very good angler. He's a very, very good angler.
I'll just take your word for it now.
No, today I'm fishing with a pro, Adil.
That's why I say you got to be on your best behavior, because he's going to be marking you nicely and say, yeah.
I'm learning today. Today I'm learning.
Today you're the student, yeah.
I think we also might get some tips from Maulana himself.
No, the opposite way around. I'm just learning since last night, actually. I'm learning at it.
You must watch out for that Maulana. He breaks rods and everything on the water.
You mean in frustration?
No. Apparently, he breaks rods with the fish that bite on it. Not in front.
Oh, yeah. Okay, those must be some.
But like I say, nobody really saw. No evidence has been brought forward. So
I broke the rod before I started fishing today.
Already one is gone.
Gee, 100%. I don't know how you firstly think.
The conditions today for fishing, Mohammed, what's your opinion for the spot that you people are in at the moment?
From what I can see, the water has cleared up a hell of a lot, because there hasn't been any rain or anything like that. You are getting fish shallow, from what I can see, but there are a lot of rogues, just roaming around. There's no spawning bed that I can see on the area that we are on at the moment. So I don't know why, because the water temperature is almost 19 degrees,
Right.
The male's supposed to be up already in the shallows, and they're supposed to be going crazy in terms of, fishing action. I think what we have to do is maybe move area, go closer down to the river, and look for some warmer water. Maybe, not knowing too much on this particular venue, some dams, different venues, fish tend to come on at a slightly higher temperature, because from what I can see, the conditions are perfect for spawn, And I just don't know why we're not seeing any males in the shallows. We are getting a few smaller, really, really smaller fish, but you can't really tell, if those are fish moving into the nest, because they're like stragglers, in between. One 30 meters away, one 40 meters away. Normally when the males come in, they come in strong, you get 10, 15 males, sometimes to one spawning female, on a spawning bed. So from that point of things, I'd say maybe this afternoon fishing might come on a lot, a bit better, because temperatures warming up quite nicely. I mean, when we started, it was 19, now it's gone up at least about a degree. So I think this afternoon will be a killer, eh?
You guys got clear skies there?
Yeah, alhamdulillah, it's what beautiful weather, man. You couldn't ask for better.
Moment you heard, they say there is National Braai's Day. Don't forget lunch, huh?
Are you making
looking forward to that? I'm looking forward to that. Look, I love Mondays. I can drive Monday to Friday, Okay.
Yeah.
That's the way.
Mohammed, in terms of you guys are at the WERP, am I right? If I'm not mistaken.
I don't know. Are you there?
I say, are you guys on the WERP at the moment?
I don't know if I was supposed to say anything about it, because I got invited by Maulana and fishing with him, so I don't know if we're allowed to disclose the venue.
Why I'm asking the question is because you were talking about the stragglers and the spawn. Is it sort of like a water that the temperature and the conditions are sort of right for spawn to basically take place over a longer period of time, or when exactly does a spawn take place in a water body like that?
I found in various dams, we've had spawn right up to January 5th the next year. Normally, everybody says spawn comes on end of August, September. And I've seen some places where the spawn comes on at like 15 degree water. It's really weird, because I think either the areas don't get too hot and the climate always, the water's always cooler. So, you'll always have the spawn slightly later in the year, And then I've seen areas where especially in water like this, where we found fish spawning like really, really deep, you know, talking like about 25 foot of water. There's one fish I took, nice, healthy female of about 1.8 kilos. I had taken about 25 foot of water, and from what I've seen, and even the bite, it was exactly the way a fish would bite during the spawn, you know? Pick the thing up, and then you just feel like nothing at the end. And then you feel again, okay, you know, something, but again, and you feel no pressure again. Cast back to the area, and then she gets like really aggressive, and then, you know, she bites. Yeah. Well, I think you not really aggressive, but like I think you become more alert that she's actually biting, you know.
You pick it up. And then, they're quite active, more as well.
Gee.
I mean, jumping all over the show and things like that, you know?
No, from what I've seen now, those are all spawning calves. There's a lot of spawning calves. There's like thousands of spawning calves. And a telltale sign, I mean, you just look at the water around you and you see all these bubbles coming up. Calves love the, that's a typical thing, saying that there are carp around, you know, because they make these bubbles underneath the water. And from what my experience and what I've seen, 99% of the time when calves are spawning on certain banks, you get a lot of, again, I'll say stragglers in between. They don't, how can I say, they don't like to hang around when there's too much carp. Because remember, carp are also nest robbers. The bears wouldn't feel comfortable making their nest in those areas, you know?
They feel threatened.
Yeah. But, yeah, let's see what happens today, you know, probably, let's hope we get into some nice lunkers.
Inshallah, I hope you guys, now, when it comes to fishing off the boat, in terms of, we know when you're bank angling, we know you got your morning session and you got your afternoon session. Does that also apply to fishing off the boat, or is it just something where you move from spot to spot and you try your luck every...
No, it's just about location at different times of day. Normally, why the people catch in the early morning and evening is because it's their feeding times, and then they go out back to their hideouts, deeper water. Sometimes they just become lockjaw and they don't bite at all, you know. And that's what we found. Just find them in the slightly deeper water or give them something elsewhere to entice them to bite, you know.
You become the hunter, sort of going and targeting the species, looking for your quarry, basically.
100%. It's about that.
I suppose then that boat gives you that advantage because you can...
That's the biggest advantage because you can get into places where you can't get, where you can fish places where, which you can't actually fish with, what do you call it, you know, from being from the bank.
Right.
I mean, I'm just standing now and I'm looking at the water, that's why I started there, but and I'm sitting now, my finder's saying 15 foot of water, and I can see right in the bottom, and I'm actually looking at two bears sitting on what I can see is a spawning bed.
Mm-hmm. What's the depth of the water that they're sitting on?
It's about 15 foot, and it's crystal clear.
Alright, now let's do this, right, so you basically found them on the finder, you can see through the water, it's so clear, you can see them sitting on a 15-foot bed. What would your process be in terms of trying to get those fish? What would you go for in terms of your bait and your presentation and stuff while we're looking at these fish now at the bottom?
First of all, what I would see is try and get something that's weighted, something with a lot of act that imparts a lot of action, means like, you know, a few tails and some of the listeners might be familiar, like crawl baits, crawl type imitations, you know, something that will irritate them on the nest because they don't want to, how can I say, basically irritate them because you're in their domain, you're coming through their spawning beds, you know. Anything that's like almost like a crab imitation type of bait, you know. I'm actually looking at this fish, and while I'm talking to him, I'm trying to entice this fish, and I can actually see the bear's looking at this bait, and he's just, I've got a deep throat, and he's just
getting irritated.
Very irritated, you know? And, even something like a drop shot, you know, drop shot bait which would stay on the spot, and you can actually entice them to bite because it wouldn't move, so you just shake the rod up and down, just trying to get them, you know, very irritated. That'll actually, how can I say,
somebody was once saying that they basically want to pick up and take it away from wherever. Not
you see, normally what will happen is,
yeah,
when it comes to the female, the bigger female, the female down the spawn bed, then pick up the bait. Always find the bigger fish as you catch, will bite like that. Normally the males, they very, very aggressive. Whatever comes in the men, they'll just eat up and, you know, get rid of immediately. They have them slow, you know, hang out and take their time and, you know, try and move in the direction, stuff like that. Normally they will just fight and get the thing off the territory, you know. That's what I've seen.
But so something weighted, something with a little bit of a curls and sort of something to entice and irritate the vest into coming out
almost
of
like,
the
almost like easy if you get a crab, right? Something like a crab imitation that's gonna come through their spawning area or their spawning bed and
right.
Really going to make you irritate them and, you know, get them worked up. You know, like if somebody
you go
three or three or hello?
I said you go
there. Talk about colors.
Oh, the colors. That also depending on the color of the water. In this particular situation, I would go on natural. Something like your darker colors, your green pumpkin, watermelon colors. Particularly good colors this time of year would be June bug. You know, the darker June bug colors. They love those colors. Natural colors, clear water. Slightly off-colored, go with something that's going to give you a better silhouette, better color, like a black. Then obviously the water's a bit dirtier, they're going to be, tighter to the structure. And then you're going to have to look at fishing specific structures. You know, that's the only thing about very dirty water. But fishing the cleaner water, you know, that would be spot on with the clearer colors, you know.
So. Does your line make a difference?
Very, very big difference in clear water. So okay. People will come with different colored lines. Yes, you will catch fish, but remember fish can see these lines and these things, you know? And they become very, very skittish too. And they wouldn't bite because it looks like something that's not natural, you know? You gotta make it as natural as possible. That's why you gotta use like fluorocarbon lines. Sometimes good monofilament lines. Like a green monofilament line that will almost blend in with the color of the water. You know, especially when it comes to cost factor, sometimes people can't afford the more expensive fluorocarbon lines.
Hmm.
So they go to the monofilament line. So the piece of advice I would actually give there is try to match the color of the tinge of the water. Like now on this, just move down to another area. And I'm seeing more bass here, but these are tiny bass. And what I can see, that it's got like almost like a greenish tinge to the water. It's clear, but coming back to the line story, I would actually, if I'm going with a monofilament line, I would go with something like a Berkeley Big Game, you know, the greenish line, or something like the, the Rapala or the Dryline, you know. Anyway, those lines would actually do quite well, yeah.
And then the color, obviously, you match up to the sort of the color of the water, basically.
Only if you're looking at monofilament lines. If you're looking at fluorocarbon lines, it's basically you have, you know, fluorocarbon is, you know, you can't see it in the water, so that can be perfect to actually fish.
I didn't know, unfortunately, we're going to have to wrap up there. Engineer indicated you've got another set of eights still to play. And we got some work to study, Ariel, as well, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, I know, you guys, it looks like it's a very interesting stalking the fish. I would have loved to be there. I'm basically just doing popcoying here on the river. While Mohammed was talking, I had a bite, but I can't leave the phone because there's no signal where my rod is, and I'm literally standing about 20 meters from it. What I do want to just say before we leave is, anybody that's looking to book a beautiful venue, this particular venue of Molana Chibu's in Porch is excellent. What you can do is Take my number. It's 061-459-2272. It's 061-459-2272. And you probably won't be able to get a hold of me today, but just drop me an SMS or a WhatsApp and I'll send you Molana's number and you can contact them directly, inshallah.
Inshallah. Adil, jazakumullah, once again.
Enjoy Friday, enjoy your best fishing.
There were a fishing line, inshallah.
Inshallah. We'll chat next week, inshallah, hopefully in studio and then back on the river after that.
Ameen, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum warahmatullah.
Assalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. All are wonderful listeners. Assalamu alaikum, Mohammed Patel. Look after Mulan Sajjad. Don't let him fool you.
I will.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum.